This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, I am talking to James Leong, the Managing Director of TK Elevator Malaysia. James, thank you for talking to me. Now, TK Elevators was rebranded as such after the sale of this division in August 2020. Of course, you were previously known as Tyson Group Elevator, the elevator division of the German industrial conglomerate. This sale from Tyson Group into the new German industrial group was kind of like a part of the deconglomerization theme we most recently saw with General Electric, where large industrial groups sell off distressed parts of their business to focus on more profitable areas. But in the case of TK, you guys, Elevators was once the most, in fact, one of the most, if not the most profitable for Tyson Group, right? But you were sold because the mothership, the holding co, was in deep trouble. So it must have been quite a difficult separation. You were there at the time. Tell me how difficult it was.
It was difficult. Just to give a bit of a background, basically, I oversee the overall business and organization performance of a TK Elevator in Malaysia. This, in fact, the transition actually happened early last year in the February. Yeah, the transitional always happens when you will actually trigger, you know, some nervous within the customer and the panel of a consultant. Yeah, they will always ask you why will be the name change, you know. Is a big group of worries, or is there a financial distress, yeah, that is actually happening within the TK group entirely? Basically, it is not. Yeah, it is not. Now, the name change basically is to rebrand ourselves, our TK Elevator, to spin off from a Tyson Group, to reinforcing our position position as an innovator, innovation leader and a pioneer in the industry. In fact, spinning off from this Tyson Group, having a standalone company, we'll be able to position ourselves better in the market, in terms of the growth potential that we see. And of course, we will expand, you know, with our own free hand, with a new group, into the Asia Pacific.
Yeah, James, but that sale actually happened quite recently, just last year, in February 2020. Now, well, just over a year ago. The thing is, at the time, the reports were saying that you had to cut costs, you had to add more service contracts, you had to get more efficient at the factory, you know, try and raise margins to become, you know, maybe more attractive to your new buyers. I think your new buyers were Advent, Synven, and RAG Foundation, right? to whom you eventually sold it to for about 19 billion euros or dollars, right? When you managed that transition on a global basis, and of course in Malaysia as well, to what extent did that impact your existing relationships with clients, many of whom are going through, you know, are still, you still have service contracts with, which are basically the long-term, more recurring side of the business?
Yep, you will be surprised, Chuan. Of course, our transition with the changes. To my surprise, the new TK Elevator brand has been well received locally, even if it's not globally, by our customer and the end user. In fact, you know, the transition does not actually move us into cost cutting. The group has given us the freedom. In fact, the mandate for us to even move further, even to do the acquisition and all that. So we can see that the group is actually looking forward and moving forward for the expansion plan within the group as well as for Malaysia market.
So the business division that you run includes products like escalators, elevators, airport solutions, walkerators, which also means that you're a proxy to the larger construction, property sectors, aviation, of course, retail, definitely malls and airports, things like that. We are coming off the, you know, two most difficult years in global economic history, at least for the last 100 years, right?
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the situation with the business sit-rep? How is the current economic scenario for guys like yourselves, which obviously are proxies to the wider construction property sector?
Yeah, of course. If I were to see current and before, we just ended the pandemic. Yeah, in Malaysia and many part of Southeast Asia, COVID-19 has caused a disruption. Yeah, to the supply chain and of raw materials and components, and here some construction and halted some construction activities, and this resulted in lower demand for elevator and escalator. Yeah, but of course, I expect in the short term, the impact of the pandemic in the global supply chain disruption will continue to affect our business. But after a bumpy year of last year, 2021, I believe the overall economy in Malaysia, including its construction market, will see a gradual rebound in this year, 2022, which will give our elevator and escalator business a more optimistic outlook. Yeah, talking about the proxy to the construction, we work actually hand in hand with the main contractor. Yeah, if the construction economy fails, indirectly we will say that the lift industry will fail together. So it's like you jump, I jump, the kind of drama back to the Titanic, between the Jack and Rose. Yeah, so in short, inevitably that even though that the MCO that we experience has some disruption to construction, we always have opportunity. Yeah, in looking into the modernization market where customer is always have the option to exercise, and notwithstanding also looking into the service market that has actually keep us surviving in the market.
Yeah, James, it's quite a mature market because when I see the reports that date back to pre-COVID times, 2019, the global market for escalators and elevators was about 50 billion euros, reportedly. That's about $55 billion. That was expected to grow just 3% until 2024. I'm sure those numbers have been recast recently in light of COVID and in light of the last 2 years. Just on a Malaysia perspective, when do you think the industry will recover to pre-COVID levels?
Yeah, I agree with you. In fact, as you mentioned, the 3% growth, if you look at based on the industry survey, the compound annual growth rate, we are looking at about hovering between 5%, by 2026. I think you did your homework well, 3% by 2024. By 2026, based on the industry survey, we are looking at about hovering between about 5 to 6%, standing about, close to about 400 million that we have projected.
Why is that the case? Because that's in 6 years' time, and that's only, roughly speaking, in line with the national GDP of many emerging countries in ASEAN. So it lags economic growth in the respective countries in emerging markets. Why is that the case? It doesn't seem appropriate, James.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense with that thinking, Chuan, as you have commented. Now, if we take back to the MCO that happens on the pre-MCO that we have experienced for the past 2 years, we noticed that the economy has been stopped. Yeah, many actually developer and the prominent developers or even the customer, they are actually pulling up the handbrake. Yeah, they just want to seize on the construction activities, it kind of a hold and wait and see the kind of situations. When after the MCO is over, and we call it as a post-MCO, we see that the developer are actually gearing up to continue with their project and the continuity of the project. Now, you see, for any of the building plan that has been approved, that is actually a stipulated period that will be expired. So if they expire, they have to go through again, the round of the application, to the council, back to the related relevant authorities. So the job has to go. Now, looking at the situation here is that, as you mentioned, we see that, the newly launch of the Bukit Jalil in Pavilion, etc., and all those projects are moving on. So we see the opportunity, and that's why I have mentioned the compounded annual growth rate we see and we projected, will grow by, 2026. There is still a huge opportunity.
Yeah, but at a more core level, James, holistically speaking, right, aviation may no longer be what aviation used to be. Retail may no longer be what it used to be, and et cetera, for hotels as well. We don't know what the future holds for, large places where huge numbers of people congregate, whether it's airports or malls or even like convention centres, right? How does the business at, TK evolve to deal with what is essentially a tectonic change in the industries?
Yeah, that is a good point. That is really impact when we are talking about new equipment is concerned. Yeah, the selling can be lesser, yeah, as of now. But never forget, you have been mentioning just now on the service market. Yeah, service market has been the market that is actually bringing and holding on, yeah, to all the leaf supplier or the contractor, as you mentioned. So, of course, apart from the new selling and the service market, beyond that, we have other services, for example, like the modernization. And this is that we'll be able to sustain us, yeah, to call, like, you know, to replace on our new selling at this moment. Of course, aviation has been on the stagnant at this moment, but we are still optimistic that you'll open up and that will actually pave way for us to move on.
I'm talking today to James Leong, the Managing Director of TK Elevator Malaysia, formerly known as ThyssenKrupp Elevator, prior to its sale to another German industrial conglomerate. We'll come back after this, James, and talk about the other side of the business, which is the service contract side, which definitely also means more recurring revenues. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Today on The Grill, we are talking to TK Elevator Malaysia's Managing Director, James Leong. And of course, TK Elevator stands for, or was formerly known as, ThyssenKrupp Elevator prior to its sale from the group a couple of years ago. Now, one of the most important, if not the most important business line in your division is the service business. And according to your website, you maintain about 1.5 million elevators globally, give or take, with the help of about 24,000 service technicians around the world. In Malaysia, what is the profile of your business, James, between new sales and, you know, maintenance contracts?
It is quite of a sensitive questions, yeah, for me to answer, because I have my competitor who is actually out there listening to this. Yeah, so okay, I mean, just to give you a clip shot, yeah, we are hovering between, you know, looking at the region about 4,000 to 5,000 of the unit that is maintained, and this has been serviced by a staff strength of close to about 300 staff within the Malaysia alone.
Yeah, and in terms of the margin profile, I mean, when I look at some of the overall group margins between yourselves and your competitors, of course, include people like Auris and Kone and Schindler, right? The industry seems to be doing about 11 to 15%, and I think with TK, it's something to the order of 11 to 13%. I could be wrong from an operating profit margin perspective. Just what can you tell us in terms of how your, you know, maybe closing the gap between the industry and yourselves with from a margin perspective?
Yep, you are not wrong. Yeah, we are very close to that. In fact, we are looking to spring up for more in that matters. Yeah, in fact, I have high hopes for like 2022. It might mean in additional to our commodity elevator and escalator product for residential and the commercial building and infrastructural project, we will be focusing on bringing in our latest innovation, yeah, to the market, like our state-of-the-art twin elevator. I'm not sure you have heard about that. It's a twin elevator system, which allows, yeah, the operation of two independent elevator cars in one shaft.
How does that work?
Okay, it works that, you know, conventionally, you only have one lift within one hoistway, one lift shaft. Yeah, you move up and down to carry the passenger whenever there is a call being made, you know, in the lobby. But for twin elevators, it's basically to cater for the Asians, you know, having the, especially with the skyscraper in the city center where the floor areas are so expensive. So TK Elevator came out with this twin elevator where you have two lift car that is moving within the lift shaft. So imagine that you know, at any one time you make a call in the lift lobby, any one of the car will come and serve you. You can see the reduction of the waiting time and then the productivity that the lift is able to produce and the efficiency, yeah, to transport you from one floor to another floor. So this is one of the of key focus of our state-of-the-art twin elevator, yeah, that allow two elevators that move in the shaft. And of course, our Agile, as mentioned, a destination control system, yeah, which improve, yeah, the passenger experience by shortening the wait and the travel time in a busy, particularly in the office building and the skyscraper accident, as well as our MAX, M-A-X. Yeah, MAX digital solution. I think this is quite common, which provide the benefit of data analytics to facilitate the predictive maintenance services. Now, apart from these two, we have also the maintenance and modernization of existing unit. It's another key area of our business. Our team is actually equipped with the capability we have to maintain and to modernize the elevator of any make or even the age. So with this one, I think we are looking into focusing this to increase and probably to close or to increase the margin gap, as you mentioned.
Yeah, James, you earlier raised an interesting point about the skyscrapers. And we all know that Asia is the kind of like continent to be in for the 21st century. You've got your China's, your Middle East, your Dubai, your Qatar's, your Singapore. Everybody seems to want their own super skyscraper. Malaysia is no exception. We've got our PNB, Warisan, and our various other towers, which are nearly 100 stories high. When you've got developers, your main cons trying to fit those behemoth buildings, right? And when it comes to elevators, what is the prime consideration? What are the prime one or two considerations when it comes to supplier selection?
Now, I would segregate it into the key buying factors. One will be the brand. They're actually quite concerned of the brand that they use in the skyscraper because that would dictate, their reputation as a developer, followed by the after-sales service. What are the service substrength that you can, in case of the servicing, and how they can better facilitate the services in terms of routine maintenance, the routine services to their potential customer. But of course, the third one will, nothing less than the price. So these are the three key buying factors that we have been working on, all this year, even up until today. So these three key buying factors has stayed on.
Buyers want to have a branded elevator in your building, but they also want you guys to have the lowest price. And that seems a bit incongruous because price can come either by cost cutting or by other means as well. And of course, when it comes to skyscrapers, your maintenance crew, very important, right? For downtime addressing and, of course, health and safety considerations. How do you play that game, especially when you've got skyscrapers between 50 to 100 stories high?
Yeah, we actually strategize in such a way that we combine it. Yeah, we make it as a combo. It's just like you go to a fast food chain, that you have this combo meal and etc. So it's the same thing. We combine our brand coupled with our after sales service. Yeah, together with the pricing, because the pricing not only about the new installation pricing, it's also come out with the after sales service pricing. So we package it all together. Sometimes we give an offer, this is a skyscraper. We are going to put in a full-time maintenance service space over the building so that it gives a better comfort and assurance to the developer.
We're talking today to James Leong, the Managing Director of TK Elevator Malaysia, a company that is formerly known as ThyssenKrupp Elevator. Now, when it comes to also skyscrapers, James, there are reports, that the use of energy-efficient elevators is of paramount importance, and also the amount of energy that is used for such highly demanding elevators is also paramount. For example, the reports that I think Kone are using supercapacitors or demanding supercapacitors when it comes to their elevator usage. Supercapacitors, obviously, very good for energy storage, and companies like Hua An have talked about this in the past as well. TechnoX have talked about this in the past. What can you comment in terms of the use of supercapacitors in your product lineup?
Yeah, I can put it in a very simple term. In fact, this is a very subjective subject, and it can talk into hours, talking about a power saving or the green products. Now, technological evolve include the elevator as well and the escalator. Put it in short is that now the system in the market that they use is the Geller system. Yeah, where Geller system that you have no oil based machines that is going to drive the lift car within the building. Where in the past that they use a geared system that is oil based. So removing the oil itself is already can be categorized as a green product. TK Elevator is committed. Yeah, to grow our business responsibly. And within the whole ESG, the environment, social, and government, In fact, I think TK, if you can see in the web, I think we have been striking the first in actually having the lowest point in the ESG trend. And this is the most relevant element to us, is how vertical mobility makes possible more sustainable living. With growing urbanization and vertical development of cities, elevator allows cities to expand outward instead of upwards, allowing us to effectively reduce the urban sprawl and associated negative impact of traffic congestion, pollution, and other key issues that are concerned for many countries in Asia Pacific, including Malaysia. I mean, all in all, as I mentioned, you know, I just want to promote, take the opportunity to promote, you know, the twin. You know, in twin actually is actually equipped with energy recovery devices that can feed up to about 30% of energy back into the building power grid. So that, okay, that is a new trend that we're looking at.
Okay, and talking about technology, James, I see on your website you have warned business partners that there's been hoax emails using elevator, your TK elevator name. Now, that's interesting because there's been reports of hackers targeting Tissen as far back as maybe even 10 years ago, right? So why is that the case? And why are hackers targeting, you know, you guys or maybe even the sector?
In fact, the hacker are not targeting TKE elevator alone. I think they have been targeting a lot of people. Yeah. Of course, when a company do well, there are opportunity that, you know, that they try to outkick you, you know, in the market by replacing with some kind of propaganda. So I think this is very clear.
So is there a possibility that your rivals are the ones that are engineering these attacks?
No, I will not conclude into that because, you know, I'm not an IT specialist and all that. So there are people, you know, who are just would like to do, you know, taking hacking, you know, as a hobby. You know, they like to do it, you know, in a manner that they just want to outwin you in a certain area and all that.
Okay, well, James, good luck with the plan. Good luck with the expansion in Asia and Malaysia. And, of course, with a clean, green future for all of us concerned, especially the time when there's climate change assailing us from every corner. Thank you for spending time with me, and thank you for your thoughts. I was talking to James Leong, the Managing Director of TK Elevator Malaysia, formerly known as Tissen Group Elevator, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.